Tomorrow is the 20th anniversary of one of the great victories for freedom and democracy. It is officially dated on November 9, 1989, and I'm referring to the fall of the Berlin Wall that separated West and East Berlin. It was built in 1961 by communist East Germany to block the traffic of immigrants to West Germany. And the wall had guard towers in order to prevent people from mounting it and going to the other side. And still, people tried. And it is estimated that in those years, some 200 people were killed trying to climb the wall. But in 1989, a German version of people power finally brought down that wall. And it was a clear victory for freedom. And it is to be noted that it was the communists who needed to build the wall. Yung mga komunista ang nagtayo nung pader sapagkat yung traffic, yung ang mga pumupunta sa kabila ay yung mga galing sa East Germany or East Berlin, ayaw nila ng komunismo at pumupunta roon, and they had to build the wall kung hindi mauubos yung kanilang populasyon. And it shows something which is very natural of the human being. Between oppression and freedom, if people had a choice, they will always choose to be free. It is right to say that it is a normal human being's portion to be free. Slavery is dehumanizing. Well, today we are raising the question of the saint's portion. What is natural for a true saint of God to seek after? What is his portion and the natural choice of the righteous? We are using a psalm that I explained last week was immortalized by a man named Asaph, who was a temple official as far as songs were concerned. And the prophet that we derive from this psalm lies in its brutal honesty. Yung pakinabang natin sa salmo na ito ay sapagkat naging napakatapat nitong si Asaph. At sa kanyang katapatan, gumamit siya ng mga salitang maaring manindig yung balahibo natin sapagkat nakikipag-usap siya sa Diyos. Gayunpaman, yung katapatan niya ang naging dahilan upang ang awit na ito ay naging napakahalaga, naging kapakipakinabang sa maraming henerasyon. Asaph honestly raises his struggles and doubts. And the theme of the first half of the psalm revolves and develops on the problem of the prosperity of the wicked. Asaph raises his doubts, and ultimately, he finds rest in the profound answers. And as we put it in our message last week, the apparent prosperity of the wicked should not blur from view their real misery. Yung tila pananagana ng masama ay hindi dapat itago sa ating pananaw yung tunay nilang miserableng kalagayan. Huwag nating kalimutan iyon. Sinukat ito ni Asaph sa sukatan ng pangwalang hanggan. At sa ganyang sukatan, anuman yung prosperidad, anuman yung pananagana sa buhay na ito, kung wala ka namang Diyos, ay walang saysay. At yan ang nakita at natuklasan nitong si Asaph. The real misery of the wicked is about eternity that already bears on the present life. And now Asaph continues to meditate, and having found the answer to the puzzle of the prosperity of the wicked, he now meditates on what constitutes the superiority of the life of the righteous. And I invite you now to turn to Psalm 73, and we'll read verses 21 to 26. Psalm 73, let's read verses 21 to 26. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So here, having found his answer to the puzzle, Asaph now reflects on what constitutes the real advantage of the righteous. O sabihin na natin may sagot siya doon sa prosperidad o pananagana ng masama. E ano naman yung masasabi nating pakinabang o kalamangan ng isang matuwid sa buhay na ito? He uses here the word portion, Now, the word portion is used in various contexts in the Old Testament, sometimes even in the context of one's share of food or allotment, but its most significant usage is in the context of inheritance. Kung yung mana ay pinaghati-hatian na, siyempre meron ka ng iyong portion. Kapag iyan ay lupain, meron ka ng iyong portion o bahagi. Eh kung napunta yung bahagi mo dun sa hindi masyadong matabang lupain, eh parang lugi ka. Pero ginagamit ngayon ng mga awit yung salitang yan, the portion of the righteous, when things are divided and you get your share, you get your portion, what is the advantage of the saint's portion? Kung minsan nakikita natin yung mga bata kapag nag-aagawan sa tinapay at nagkahati-hatian yung tinapay, nagtutuksuan sila, o mas maganda yung aking portion, mas malaki yung sa akin, o yung isa naman, eh sa akin yung may asukal. Inaakala nilang sa kanila yung magandang bahagi. Yun ang ibig sabihin ng portion dito, at ang pinagbubulayan ni Asaph ay paano natin masasabi na yung bahagi na napunta sa atin ay yung mas kalamangan kaysa sa pananagana ng mga masasama. And the psalmist is asserting here that his portion as a righteous man is unmatched as to its advantage or its superiority. And that is my message for us this afternoon. The superior portion in life of the righteous is God Himself and no less. The superior portion in life of the righteous is God Himself and no less. Ang lamang na bahagi ng matuwid sa buhay na ito ay ang Diyos mismo. Walang iba kundi ang Diyos mismo. If you define your portion in comparison to others with anything less than God, you are missing it. And that's the title of our series, is None But God. Because that's the point of the psalmist. After going through the struggle of doubt and depression because of the prosperity of the wicked, he realized what it was they were facing on the judgment day. Theirs is utter misery when measured by eternity. But we will be missing the point of this psalm if all that we see of the difference between the righteous and the wicked is in the end. Nagkakamali tayo kapag isipin natin na ang pagkakaiba lang ng matuwid at ng masama ay makikita natin sa katapusan. Eh, hindi ba't yan ang akusasyon ng mga Marxist? Ang pananampalatayang Kristiyano ay hinahayaang mamuhay sa pagkaalipin sa pamamagitan ng pangako ng langit. They're saying, your religion is the opium of the people. You just let them sense the promise of heaven while they are miserable here on earth. Now, is that what the psalmist is saying? That we can take the misery in life of the righteous, but next is the reward of the afterlife? Well, the wicked have it prosperous in this life, only to be destroyed in the afterlife. If that is our view, we are wrong. Hindi yun ang itinuturo dito. Hindi ibig sabihin na ang mga masasamay mananagana lamang dito sa buhay na ito, pagkatapos parurusahan sila, samantala ang mga matutuwid ay maghihirap sa buhay na ito at pagkatapos gagantimpalaan sila. Nagkakamali tayo. Ang sinasabi rito ni Asaph ay mismong sa buhay na ito may kalamangan tayo. Ngunit kinakailangan makita natin saan tayo lamang. Saan lamang ang matuwid doon sa mga masasama kahit pa sila sumasagana. And the right definition is very crucial. Because if you define it by your church or define it by anything else, then you miss it. The real superiority of the portion of the righteous in this life is God Himself. Define it no less. The great joy of the life of the saint is in having what he has. And what he has is God Himself and no less. And let us break that down into two assertions. First, let us see first the inferiority of any portion other than God. The inferiority of any portion other than God, and secondly, the superiority of that portion focused on God. So, unang-una, the inferiority of any portion other than God. Bakit kalugihan ang anumang bahagi ng buhay na hindi ang Diyos? Asaph, in fact, is charging himself with such foolishness at even considering the prosperity of the wicked. Pakinggan niyo yung sinabi niya, I was so foolish. I was so ignorant. In fact, he makes it even worse. He says, I was like a beast before you. Why does he say those things? Probably if you would put this in our own modern language, we would say, how utterly stupid of me to even consider the prosperity of the wicked. When he got to finally make a true measure of life's values, he realized what the wicked lacked. And this is something that you and I need to learn. Anything less than God in life will prove to be without value in the scale of the present and of eternity. Anumang bagay sa buhay na wala ang Diyos ay magpapatunay na walang pakinabang, walang halaga sa buhay na ito hanggang sa kawalang hanggan. Anything less than God. And indeed, there are many alternatives to God to legitimize one's life. Lahat tayo naghahanap niyan. Lahat tayo naghahanap ng isang bagay para magkaroon ng saysay yung ating buhay. At maaaring makita natin yan sa iba't ibang paraan. Ang sinasabi rito ni Asaph ay kapag nakita mo yan sa anumang bagay, maliban sa Diyos, ay magpapatunay ito na walang saysay sa kahulihan, walang saysay sa kawalang hanggan, walang saysay maging sa kasalukuyan. Unless you find it in God. Now, imagine a staircase, as I try to illustrate this point. A staircase, hagdanan, starting from the lowest level, that is farthest from God, and then ascending on steps closer to God, and yet still falling short of God. That's what I want us to do today. Tingnan natin yung mga alternatibo na parang hagdanan, yung pinakamalayo sa Diyos, hanggang papalapit ng papalapit, pero hindi pa rin ang Diyos. And that's possible. There are those, if we begin on the lowest level, there are those who accept a life that is consciously far from God. People who are deliberately opposed to God. Now, they may be atheists or the irreverent and the irreligious who hate the very idea of godliness. And Asaph makes reference to them in this psalm. If you remember last week, he said that these people were mouthing such arrogant language. How does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Kaya nga, nasasaktan itong si Asaph kasi napaka-arrogante ng lengguahe ng mga taong ito na parang sila ay handang lumaban sa Diyos. At may mga taong ganyan. You talk to some people who are militantly atheistic, your hairs will stand on end at the way they defy God. Now, would the saint be attracted to that kind of life? Not at all. You can have all the prosperity you want. If you're atheistic, if you defy God, it is an ugly life as far as the saint is concerned. It's the lowest of the low as far as the righteous is concerned. So there is nothing in that portion of life to attract the righteous. Even if they prosper, it is an ugly life. And that's why, as David said in Psalm 37:1, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious of the workers of iniquity. Yan ang naging problema ni Asaph initially. At nakatagpo siya ng tamang sagot. But now, let us rise higher on the staircase. There are those who may not be irreverent, not atheistic at all. In fact, we can call them noble in their causes. They do not defy God. They may choose a portion that is humanitarian, one that helps their fellow men, and it legitimizes them. Nagkakaroon ng saysa yung buhay nila sapagkat naglilingkod sila sa kanilang kapwa. At sinong makapagsasalita ng laban sa ganung klase ng pamumuhay? Naglilingkod sa kanilang kapwa, tumutulong during the recent spate of storms. You see people who went through a lot in order to deliver relief goods and to help their fellow men. You cannot say anything against that. And that's a legitimate cause, a legitimate portion of one's life, and they are noble causes. Yet, many times, people whose lives are legitimized by noble causes miss God by those very causes. By those very noble causes, they feel they are special to God. The Bible has a word for that: self-righteousness. And isn't it true that there are people whose lives are given to help their fellow men, and yet the way they think of themselves towards God is that God has no other option but to accept them because they're helping their fellow men? Maaaring may kausap ako sa inyo na ganito ang pananaw, nakakatulong kayo sa kapwa, may nagagawa kayong mabuti, at sa inyong pakiramdam ay maluwag ang pakiramdam nyo na tatanggapin kayo ng Diyos nang dahil sa inyong ginagawa sa inyong kapwa, nang dahil sa isang mabuting simulain, iniisip nyo na kayo'y tatanggapin, at ang nangyayari dito, nang dahil sa isang mabuting simulain, lalo pang nalalayo ka sa Diyos. It may be a staircase, a level of the staircase, higher than the atheists, higher than those who defy God, and yet you still miss God by the very noble causes you adopt. And that's possible. Will this be a portion that is attractive to the saint? No. Again, we would not say anything against humanitarian exercises. But is this an attractive portion because of noble causes we miss God? Well, to the saint, that is not the case. For the true righteous person is one, in the language of Ecclesiastes, he has seen the plague of his heart. Nakita niya yung sakit ng kanyang puso. Isang salot. In the language of A.W. Tozer, I have seen so many ugly sights, but none more ugly than the sight of my own heart. And would you not say amen to that confession? And therefore, to adopt noble causes and to miss God in the process is not attractive to the saint. But let us yet rise even higher in the staircase. One that is almost there, but still not quite. There are people who are into religion. They traffic in the cause of God, but without His word. And there are plenty of them. They may claim the leading of the Holy Spirit, of plenty of them around. They may claim direct voice from God. And so here are people with religion. Here are people who talk a lot about God and still miss God. And this is the chosen portion of many. And many of them will join the voices of those Jesus said will protest on the judgment day. Did we not do miracles in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And to whom Jesus will say, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. The true saint of God will deal with God based on his word. Not beyond the word, not short of the word. He deals with God on the basis of his revealed word. And therefore, there is nothing attractive in and of itself in people who simply traffic in the cause of God without the word of God. But now let us rise even higher on the staircase. One that is so easy to mistake as already on God's level, but not quite. These are people who are in churches that proclaim the word faithfully. And so they hear truth. They may even love the truth. They may even love doctrines. But it is possible for such people to be on that level and still miss God. These are people to whom Christianity is nothing but form. To them, Christianity may mean doctrines. Christianity may mean certain activities that they do habitually, attend services, do certain motions expected of Christians, such as praying, etc. And people can do that. There are people who are in churches who do the things expected of Christians, and yet they still miss God. Paul refers to them in 2 Timothy 3:5 as having a form of godliness but denying its powers. Posible sa mga tao na nasa mga iglesia kung saan ipinapangaral ang salita ng Diyos, tapat sa salita ng Diyos at kanilang naririnig ang mga katotohanan, subalit nalalampasan pa rin nila ang Diyos sapagkat para sa kanila sapat na yung labas na katotohanan. Ang pananampalataya sa kanila ay yung mga doktrina, mga gawaing Kristiyano at gawaing pang-iglesia, at hanggat nagagawa nila ang mga bagay na yun, inaakala nila na sila ay meron ng Diyos. And this is the level of the staircase that can be closest to God and yet still miss God. And it is possible. Some of them are mere professors of the Christian faith. They profess the faith in lips, in motion, and yet no heart. And still others are mere procrastinators of the gospel offer. They do not reject it entirely. They do not reject it outrightly. And yet they keep saying, some other time. And you may be such a person, my friend. Each time the sound of the gospel comes to you, you don't disrespect it. You don't say no to it. And yet you don't bow down in submission to the call of the Lord Jesus to be His disciple. And these are the steps one may take on the staircase and still miss God. Each of these steps has its way of legitimizing life, and yet each falls short of God. Starting in, I think, 1953, there has been a list of people who have climbed on the top of Everest, starting with a New Zealander in the person of Edmund Hillary. And since then, there have been a number. I think 2 Filipinos already. So this is a list of people who have climbed on the top. But is there a list of people who almost made it? None. They don't matter as far as records are concerned. And you see my point? You may reach very close to God and yet still miss God. It won't matter in eternity. And how important it is that you make sure you have God Himself. Not just the form of Christianity, not just the things of God. And how horrible it would be to come so close and yet not reach it. And the challenge is for the saint to identify what occupies him that becomes an alternative to God. The true saint is one who has been delivered from idolatry, who have come to see the false gods. We have come to know the true God. That's why Paul describes believers in 2 Thessalonians as those who turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Yet, the warning is, while we know the true God, it is possible to come to certain periods in our lives when we treat as God something which is lower than God. And yet we give it a treatment that should be reserved for God. E diyan tayo mag-ingat. Balaan natin yung ating sarili. Maaring tayo ay matuwid, tayo ay mananampalataya. Ngunit dumarating kuminsan ang panahon na ang trato natin sa ibang bagay o maaring ibang tao ay yung pagtratong dapat ay ibigay natin sa Diyos. When we are not in the habit of meditation and self-examination, something lower than God can become our portion. And without realizing it, as Asaph confessed, we are becoming foolish. Or to use his language, we are becoming like beasts. We may treat our job in a way that should be reserved for God. We may treat a position as our portion in this life. And when we do, we are missing the real joy. Kapag tiningnan natin ang ating posisyon, yung ating trabaho, na parang yun ang bahagi ng ating buhay, doon nawawala yung tunay na kagalakan. And that Christian who has made his job or his position, his portion in life, let him worship. And his work still dominates in his mind during worship. Let him pray. And even in his prayer, it is his work and position that becomes the portion of his prayer, not God. When something is being treated by us like God in some periods of our lives, let's have a reverent pause. And tell that thing, tell that position, tell that job, you are not my God. And you will never be. I told you of the story of Thomas Cranmer, the English reformer during the time of Henry VIII. And yet, it was too late when Thomas Cranmer showed the real myth of the Christian faith in him because he treated Henry VIII like God. Ano mang gusto ni Henry VIII, sunod-sunuran siya. Kahit na alam niyang labag ito sa kanyang paninindigan at pananampalataya. Hanggang mapalitan na si Henry VIII, it became Queen Mary. At nung siya'y i-demand the Queen Mary to make a recantation just to avoid death, he signed a recantation only to find out that he would not avoid death. And in his shame, when he was facing the fire at the stake, it was then that he announced to those who were responsible for the fire, please burn my hands first. These hands are not worthy of my Lord and Savior. Well, that's because he treated someone as his God when he should have known better. And you and I may come to periods in our lives when we are probably treating something or someone as God. And we need to have a reverent pause to tell that thing, you are not my God. Be it job or money, income or position, you are not my God. For anything less than God will prove inferior. And that brings me to my second point. The superiority of that portion focused on God. Yung kalamangan ng bahagi na nakatutok sa Diyos. Asaph now describes his life as it revolves on his God. And he uses a strong word of contrast. He says, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. Now that despite confessing his weakness, his confession now is that even though I am ignorant and I have become foolish, I have become like beast, yet continually I am in the right hand of God. And he depicts life as it spans what God is doing now and what will be afterward. He will receive me to glory. And what Asaph is saying here is simply that God is greater than everything outside of us or anything inside of us. Yun ang kanyang sinasabi, ang Diyos ay higit na dakila kaysa anumang nasa labas natin o anumang nasa loob natin. Now, you might have noticed the change in title for this message, and it's deliberate. The original title was God in Heaven and Earth. Well, it reflects my expositional discovery why I changed the title, because at first, I thought that all that the psalmist is saying is that he has God as sufficient in heaven and on earth. Well, he is saying that, but he is actually saying more. Heaven and earth is the way the Hebrew would describe the whole of creation. But now, in addition to that, Asaph mentions flesh and heart. And that is the way the Hebrew would speak of myself. So what is he saying actually is, in the whole of creation, God is greater. And even in my own person, God is greater. Another way of saying it is, it's God out there and it's God still in here. Whether in creation or in my own life, God. And that's why the series title is None But God. In the language of the best known Puritan sentence ever, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's what the chief end of man is. It's about God. It's not about simply things of God. It's not simply about the truths about God, no matter how dear they are to us. It's about God. And so I cringe when a message is preached with the substance of what God is going to give if you have faith. Well, God gave Himself in the person of His Son and by the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. And by giving Himself, He could give no better. Now, some might say, are we giving less value to creation because we are focused on the Creator? On the contrary, when we see the Creator Himself as the substance and focus of our lives, the more we treat creation with respect that is its due. The more we give ourselves to our career with diligence and commitment. The more we have a Christian work ethic. So I do not believe this rubbish that people who are so God-centered will then become neglectful of their earthly occupation. Not so. Not when we hold it in balance. But there is the real danger of being satisfied with a creature that we miss the Creator. He who is our Father. Maaring mangyari na sa ating pagkatutok sa bigay ng Diyos, nalimutan natin ang tagapagbigay. Sa pagkatutok natin sa nilikha ng Diyos, nalimutan natin ang manlilikha. And it's like the most familiar medical instrument probably is the doctor's stethoscope. And what's the use of the stethoscope is to detect sound, especially heartbeat. But when one is so enamored with a stethoscope and probably even memorize all the parts of the stethoscope except use it to detect sound, well, he's focused on the thing wrongly. Well, I use that illustration to say that when we are given things in life, they are stethoscope to listen to the heartbeat of God, His love for us, our relationship with Him. But when we are so focused on the thing itself, we fail to hear the sound of God's heartbeat. And I may be speaking to a believer here who has gotten so occupied with a stethoscope and you have forgotten to listen to the heartbeat of God. The challenge here is that, as the psalmist confesses, even at our weakest moments, we still have the same God for our portion. Kahit sa pinakamahina nating kalagayan, hindi nawala yung Diyos sa mananampalataya. At ninanais niya na siya ang gawin natin talagang bahagi ng ating buhay. He is the portion of our lives. Listen to the psalmist. This is precious to me. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart. God does not change because we do. God does not weaken because we're weak. So even when my flesh and my heart fail, God still is the strength of my heart. And I also cringe when I hear the very common expression today, listen to your heart. No, don't listen to your heart. For Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. There are times when your heart fails. But even at the saint's moment of weakness, does that mean he has no more of God? Does God flee from him because he's weak? Well, thank God he doesn't. In the language of the New Testament, 1 John 3:20, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. Isn't that precious? If our heart condemns us, does that happen to you? Oh, it happens to me a lot. When our heart condemns us, God does not condemn us with it. When our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Our portion in life is not even ourselves when we are strong. Even in our weakest, God remains our strength. God remains our portion. And this is what you and I need to renew and refresh, that God is the portion of my life. Perhaps it has become a level of the staircase, a step short of God. And you may have the thing, that form, but not God. Renew it today. Still there, even at our weakest moment. There's a good parallel verse to this, which is one of my favorites. Psalm 16, 5 and 6 says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. So the Lord is my portion, and he says, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Ang tinutukoy niya rito ay kapag hinati na yung mamanahing lupain at nilalagyan niya ng mga linya, yung napunta raw sa umawit ay yung napaka-pleasant na mga lugar. Yun ang naging bahagi niya. And would to God we can confess that. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Why? Not because he's got a good job or he's got a high income or he's on a good position. They may be true, they may be not, but that's not the point. Why the lines have fallen in pleasant places is because God is my portion. Let that question ring in your own conscience tonight. As I must make it ring in my conscience tonight, is God still my portion? Our last hymn reminds us of this truth, where it says in verse 2 of our last hymn, "In darkness willingly I strayed, I sought thee, yet from thee I roved. Far wide my wandering thoughts were spread, the creatures more than thee I loved." Doesn't that happen to us many times in different periods of our lives? We want God, our hearts say, come to God, and yet we rove away from Him. And then the creatures occupy us more than the Creator. We'll let this hour be an hour of renewal to us. And if we are committed to this, let this be an hour of continuous refreshing, that God truly is our portion. Let's close in prayer. Tulungan mo kami, O dakila naming Diyos, na tunay na matuklasan ko ano ang bahaging nasa amin, na wala ang mga masama. Ano man ang kanilang pananagana o prosperidad, ay walang saisay kung susumahin sa sukatan ng kawalang hanggan kung sila'y walang Diyos. At ito naman ang mayroon kami. Ngunit nangyayari kung minsan na natatrato namin ang ibang mga bagay, ibang mga kalagayan ng pagtratong dapat lamang naming iukol sa iyo bilang aming bahagi, bilang aming Diyos. At tulungan mo kami, Panginoon, na mamulat ang aming mga mata kung ito'y nangyayari sa amin. We pray, Lord, for the same brutal honesty that Asaph here demonstrates, but not only in expressing the complaints of his heart, but that brutal honesty when it comes to examining ourselves and seeing in what areas we may be climbing the staircase and being on a level that seems close to you and yet not quite having God Himself. And it is indeed very possible, especially on our part, who traffic in the very truths of God in the church, who do the very activities expected of believers, and yet in the midst of those activities and truths, it may be that we are missing God Himself. May we not be like those people whom Paul describes as having the form of godliness but denying the powers thereof. And we pray, Lord, for your word to come home to those who may just be mere professors without the substance. Speak to those who are procrastinators of the offer of the gospel and make them realize that the offer still is extended to them, and yet it may be that the opportunity of grace is fading away. We pray, Lord, for them that they will seize the opportunity and grab the offer of the gospel and do not procrastinate. And grant your saints in this church to examine ourselves and see those things that we may be giving a treatment that should belong only to God, whether it's job, position, and whatever it is. Grant, O Lord, that we would not miss on the real joy and the real superiority of that portion that is focused on God. May we realize that our portion, who is God, is that portion, both out there and in here, in our own persons, both in creation and in our lives. And we thank you indeed for the confession of the psalmist here, that we can also confess that my heart and my flesh fail, but we can still confess that God is the strength of my heart. We thank you for the thought that you do not change because we do. We thank you for the assurance that if our heart condemns us, you do not condemn us with it. But God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. And thus, even in our moments of weakness, may we learn to hold fast to that which is the advantage of the saint, both in this life and in that which is to come. May we be able to say with the psalmist that our lines have fallen to me in pleasant places, for you are the portion of my inheritance. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.